Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, April 2nd, 2018. And today's show is titled Healing 101. A quick intro is I'm 42 years old. I live in Georgia. I'm studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. I'll be reading out of the King James Version of the Scriptures when I get to it. And before we get started, I want to read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. Where does this go? Up here. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule is to do not seek for hidden meaning. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. So keep those 7 rules, write them down and keep them by your Bible. So if you're tempted to start straying off or having somebody tell you it says what it doesn't say, and you've fallen for it, and you don't have no kind of rebuttal for what they're telling you it says, and you're reading it and don't say it, that's because they're veering off the road called straight, and they take you right along with them and say, well, the scriptures interpret themselves. Thank you. Now, don't get me wrong. You need wisdom, knowledge, and understanding when you're reading the scriptures, definitely, and they will come alive for you, and God will illuminate what he wants to illuminate. You can based a whole sermon off of 2 words. I totally agree with that. At the same time, the Bible interprets itself. You just have to read it, and it says what it says. If he gives you certain prophecy, great, but stick to the scriptures. All right, so having said that, this is the most mixed-up conversation, section of the Bible. And thank you, Jesus, I had the opportunity to not be in a position where I can rely on man-made things like health insurance. I hear from the Lord, and he had prompted me a few years ago to leave my job, which was a very high-paying job, and, you know, I had a mortgage and all this other stuff, so I was kind of confused by that. And it wasn't until all of this stuff started coming to pass where I really, really was saying, wow, thank God. You know, because right after I left my job, I started my body butter products and started doing that. And why isn't this opening? I don't understand. So I started my body butter products and, you know, a lot of things I thought malfunctioning that normally don't malfunction until they scared. Y'all gonna get this healing doctrine down pat. They scared. You better be scared. They scared. Anyway, call in. If you online and you don't, call in. If you can't call in, go to Facebook. Y'all need to start getting a little bit more radical about y'all doctrine. Anyway, thank God I did not have the resources to do things the man-made way, which is, you know, as soon as something starts happening in your body, you run to the doctor to see what the doctor says. You tell him your symptoms, and then he guesses at what he thinks it is because he really doesn't know. He's just sampling and practicing on you. And that's normally how it goes, you know what I'm saying? So at the time, when my body started experiencing symptoms, I was self-employed. So I didn't have health insurance to run nowhere. So when you're in a tight spot like that where all your resources, and I like how God did it because all my reliance was on him. And I see why he did it. I mean, I didn't understand it at the time, and it was a little bit confusing because things got really, really tight financially. But at the same time, I see that he wanted me to solely rely on him. And he was kind of setting up a table for me in the presence of my enemies. So when you right there at the root where the table's being set up, it looks kind of awkward, like, whoa, where's the food? Where's the fees? Where's this? Where's that? And however, it allowed me to, because I was, like I said, I had a great paying job. I had been there since 1999, which was years. I had a good rapport there. Definitely had job stability. Like, I wasn't going anywhere. And if they would have started, they had already started laying off. I wasn't worried a bit because I knew I do my job exceptionally well. So I was like, they're not laying me off. I know that because I'm an asset to this place. And so I never worried about job, or I never had to worry about money and all this. So when God told me to leave my job, I was just like, whoa, what is this? This is new. This is brand new. I thought you put me here. And so I didn't understand at the time, but I did it. God was talking about. So I did it, and I did it. I wasn't the least bit concerned about it. At first, you know, when I asked the questions that I put it like this, I asked the questions that I needed to ask, so that I didn't do it in fear, or I didn't say, oh, because it's not like he said, leave your job and then work at this other job. It was just like, leave your job. No further instructions after that. And I'm like, why? You know, and then I started asking, and then when? Right now, you mean? You know, I started asking the necessary questions, and once he answered those, I knew that I could solely rely on him for the next set of instructions. And I did, and I have been. All the way through up until today. I mean, I'm not perfect. I've been kicking and screaming the whole way through. However, I am really self-reliant on him, including now I'm working at a ministry. I'm still self-reliant on him. He sent me out here. I mean, I really don't know what he's fully up to. But what I do know is he is putting me in a, I'm going to call it what I like to call training, 101. It was less like, I don't want you to be trained from the pastors. I don't want you to be trained from the prophets. I don't want you to be trained from school. I want to train you. And he trained me. I mean, he had things hidden in my house where I had no choice but to use my sword, my mouth. And that was a 10-year training, dealing with demons and casting them out and how to cast them out and this and that. So I had training straight from the Lord. So I still have to say, what I'm going to tell you in this video ain't come from nothing other than what I've lived. Okay, when I get into this Healing 101, straight from the Creator, what I lived. Okay, so don't start hitting me with where that's at in the scriptures and where it's in there. But at the time, I didn't know. Okay, that's what I'm saying. So anyway, it's working now. Let me open up the chat box in case those want to join via. Again, if you want to call in, because some people want to call in and talk and share their brush with death. If you want to do that, that's totally fine. It's 563-999-3682. And actually, I definitely recommend you do that. If you can confirm anything that a believer is saying, that this word is true, that's, you almost have a responsibility to do so. Like if I was, let's say, for example, that's what happened to me a couple of days ago. Some guy had posted something about, I'm not even going to say the name, because when I say the name, it starts a riot. But it's a world-renowned missionary guy that goes around, and he's known for healing. So the guy that posted the post was kind of bigging him up, like, oh, you know, big up to this guy. He had probably actually came across his part of town and healed some people, whatever. This sister jumped on there immediately. Oh, he's a fraud. He's a fake. I went to his meeting and I didn't get healed, yada, yada, yada. So you know me, I had a responsibility because I had been to one of the meetings. I got healed. So I was just like, no, sis, you got it all wrong. He's not the healer. And that's the problem. People are thinking these missionaries and these prophets and these pastors, they're not the healer. So I said, he's not the healer. However, he can heal. I mean, it clearly says in the scriptures, I'm putting this in your hands. I'm leaving. God has laborers that go around healing people, but they're not the actual healer. They're just the vessel. So she didn't seem to understand that, because when she started saying she didn't get healed and he was a fake and he was a fraud, I'm like, wrong. She misunderstood how this works. This man is not God. This man is not Jesus. He is the vessel used to impart healing to you. If you listen to what he told you to do, you would have got healed. I listened. I got healed immediately. I had something going on with my ear, and it was pretty bad. It wasn't like, And like I said, at that time, I was self-reliant as well. And so it was, Lord, what's up with this? This is your responsibility, because I'm now on your watch. I'm now on your financial system. I'm now on your, what's up with this? And he led me right there, got my healing, learned in the process how this works. So, and that's good. I'm not one of those people that get sick all the time. So that's why when something is wrong with me, I immediately, well, let me not jump the gun. I want to go right in order. I got so many pages, I don't know where to begin, but I'm just going to begin right to the problem. Okay, let's just jump right into it. Because what I'm going to do is read you the scriptures that most believers read and believe and they stand on. Because it's not devil worship, it's the saying, I didn't get healed. It's the actual believers that are struggling with the healing. So I'm addressing it from the believer's perspective. If you are not a believer right now, maybe just, I don't need you on here discrediting what I'm saying. Maybe you just need to just listen. This video is actually for believers that say, oh, no, I did that. I was praying. I did it. It's not working. That's the area I want to address right now. This is healing 101, so I want to take it from that perspective. If you're not a believer, then healing is, I hate to say it, but healing is not available for you just because you're not a believer. This is for, that's like not being in a certain country club, but you want the country club benefits. It doesn't work that way. You have to be a member of that organization if you want to use their facilities. Likewise, in the kingdom of God, if you are not a believer, then healing God's way is not able to go to your witch doctors or whatever y'all do, drink snake blood. Like, I don't know what it is y'all do to get healing on that side. Ask them. But this video is actually for believers that believe in God and was praying and was doing this and did all the right scriptures and did not receive healing. That's the people I want to, that's what this video is for. Okay. Well, I should say this one, maybe I'll do more on the non-believers, or what do you do as a non-believer, or if you're a new believer, like we'll get into all of that. All right, so first I want to read the scriptures that believers stand on, right? Let's go to, we don't have to go there. I want to read the scriptures that everybody read, this common scriptures that everybody knows. In Acts 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. Everybody knows that scripture. There's another one in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Oh, well, not that one. That one just says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, right? Everybody knows that scripture. Mark 16, verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Everybody knows that scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We all know that one.
I mean, I got a ton. Isaiah 41:10, Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Jeremiah 33, behold, I will bring it here. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. We know that. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. That's a popular one, right? Everybody knows by his stripes we were healed. Some stand on that too and don't get healing, right? Where's another one? Oh, this is a famous one, Isaiah 53, 5, very, very popular scriptures. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. That's a famous one. James 5, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him, right? Psalms 103, if you want to splash that in there, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, and there is most definitely benefits, and healing is one of the benefits. 3 John 1:2, that means chapter 1, verse 2, says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I can keep on going on and on and on. Psalms 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness, right? Psalm 147, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I can keep on going. Every believer practically knows those scriptures. Most of them are in the gospel. Everyone is familiar with those scriptures, right? No arguments there. However, let me tell you the scriptures that were ignored or we just skimmed through. These ones. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. We also overlooked Isaiah 5, where it says, Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. We overlooked John 8, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We overlooked Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. We overlooked Proverbs chapter 1, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. We overlooked Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is quick, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We overlooked Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, Ye rather, blessed they that hear the word of God and keep it. We overlooked Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. I can keep on going with the scriptures that was overlooked, especially the most overlooked scripture in the Bible, where it says, no curse will come without a cause. If you are experiencing sickness, and I'm not talking about natural law sickness, where me, for example, Sunday I got up, for church, I was off that day, and I was gonna take my time and make breakfast, and I said, oh man, it's Easter Sunday, it's probably gonna be crowded. Let me hurry up and just get out the door without eating breakfast. But then I stopped at the store and got some candy on the way after church, and I started eating candy and started getting a little bit of a bellyache. That's not a sickness, you know what I mean? That's a violation of a natural law. I cannot eat sweets without putting food in my belly first. There's people that have ulcers. They eat spicy, spicy food, greasy, greasy, all kinds of harsh food. The belly was not designed to hold that kind of food all the time. So you got an ulcer. That's not a sickness. That is a violation of dietary laws. That's not a disease either. I don't care what the doctors call it. I don't care what the doctor says it is. It's not something that you need to be prayed over and healed from. It's not a demon in your belly. It's you. You eating the wrong kind of food all the time. Like, pace yourself, okay? What else is another one that I can say? Overeating and then praying to God that you lose weight. Like, again, you are violating dietary laws. That's not how you know. So I thought to say there's some things that people pray for that does not require healing. It just requires a correction in our behavior. Likewise, this always requires if you don't handle healing like how I'm about to say it, you're not going to get healed because you don't know what healing is. You think we have an abracadabra, and that's why they have these shows. The enemy put these shows out where we look at God like, abracadabra, poof, And that's not what God is. That's not even real. I don't care. Even if you worship the devil don't even do poof and something appears out of nowhere. Nothing is like that. That's just TV. So for some reason, we think God is like that, where everything is, oh, God, I have a sickness. Poof, it's gone. I mean, it can be. If you pay attention to what the scripture says, no curse will come without a cause. That was ignored. You know what else was ignored? Judge yourself, lest ye be judged. That's a big one that nobody wants to do that. So the first thing we do when we get sick, and I'm talking about, you know, when I'm talking about sick, I'm talking about the doctor diagnosed cancer. I'm talking about something harsh that there's really no cure for, or you've been trying to get cured and it's still there. I had a girl, I tried to reach out to her, matter of fact, for her to watch this video, but because she had reached out to me in the inbox and asked me, I don't think she was asking me to heal her, but I got the sense where she was sick of her, I forgot what she called it. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, she had reached out to me in the inbox, and I felt really, really bad for her. And at the time, I was too busy to give it a whole, like I said, the healing is a broad subject. I mean, it really, there's not no one, two, three, two, you know. But the short answer would have been, judge yourself and ask God why you are cursed. But nobody wants to hear that. That's harsh language. When you tell somebody, your actions is what made you get cursed with that sickness, nobody wants to hear that. Oh, me. Oh, I feed the homeless. I volunteer. Like they start thinking of all the self-righteous things that they do, but it could be one little thing that they did. The enemy found in any, and that's what happened with me. One little thing that you, as great of a person as you are, it could be one little violation of a law, because laws are, okay, let's take it from the top. Let's take it from the root. So let's take it from the root. I'm going to put my legal hat on for a minute. I have all kinds of hats I wear. I wear a legal hat, too. And laws are a body or rules of action or conduct prescribed by controlling authority. Now listen to this. Having binding legal force, that which must be obeyed and followed by citizens, and it's subject to sanctions or legal consequences. Now, guess what? That is not exclusive to earth. That is not exclusive in the carnal realm. That is not exclusive in the spiritual realm. It's universal. It's law. Anytime you see the word law, and this is where the church falls short, and that's why many people in the church are sick and dying. Because they go, oh, we're not under the Mosaic law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. That's fine. But you know what they eliminated? The no curse will come without a cause. So you don't have to throw law in there if you want to do it like that. But no matter what, you violated something and you got cursed for it. And you're refusing to even, it's just that simple. You violated something and you're being cursed for it. Cancer didn't just jump in your body. What else is a terminal? I'm talking about like terminal. I don't even want to start naming all these crazy diseases that I be hearing people having. I'm like, you got what? You got what? It happened to them. Even skin conditions. I'm talking about stuff that you are working hard at trying to get rid of, and it's just there, and you're not violating a natural law. Most of the skin, and I'm talking about like eczema, where you just, your body's responding to chemicals. I mean, people that used to buy my product, they know that their body was just responding to chemicals. And the minute they started using natural stuff, I mean, immediately the bumps and rashes or whatever cleared up. I'm talking about stuff that you cannot get rid of. And you've been trying. You've been to doctors and dermatologists. That is called a curse, right? Because God makes perfect things. Let's not go by what we don't know. Let's go by what we do know. What we do know is God makes perfect things. Well, let's take it from the top. We already got what law is. We got traffic laws, divorce laws, federal laws, state laws, all kind of laws. But no matter what, if you violate these laws, there's punishment involved. Likewise in the kingdom, likewise in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm was here before the earth realm, before the carnal realm. So that's the problem. A lot of us here on earth and us humans seem to think, oh, that's spiritual. I don't get into all of that. But you are all that. You are it. We are it. We're just spiritual beings wrapped in human flesh. So the spirit realm was here before the carnal realm. So you can't just say, oh, I live in this realm. I live in the here and now. Like that's what people say all the time. I live in the here and now. No, you don't. You can say you live in the here and now, but you don't. Because why are you sick? That is a spiritual violation of something. If you were sick, and if you take notes or whatever, this is Healing 101. If you were sick, you violated something. You need to find out what you violated. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. Okay? This is what happened to me. And this was just a few years ago. Like I said, I was self-employed. And, first I'm going to tell you the sickness, and then I'm going to tell you as I backtrack and had to back it up and had to track it back. I mean, healing is a broad subject because you start to think, well, what did I do? Which one? Which one did I violate that causing me this curse? So a few years ago, I used the bathroom, and there was blood there. And at first, you know, I'm a woman. I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is it. And it wasn't, because I keep, like, I'm the type, I keep everything on the calendar. I know exactly down to the day that it's coming, and I know I can count. Like, I'm on a schedule. My body's on a schedule. Most women's body, unless there's something going on, is on a schedule. And we know how to track that. I mean, down to the day. Some people down to the hour know exactly when it's going to come. But anyway, so then I realized that's not what this is. And because I had put something on and there was nothing on there. And I'm like, this is weird. But it was every time I was going to the bathroom, I was seeing blood. That's when I realized, oh, this is coming from my urine. Now, that's when I got a little bit concerned because I'm thinking, oh, this is not a period. This is blood in my urine? What? Whoa. Now, the reason why this is really, really concerning for me because I had been abstinent for a long time where I knew it wasn't an STD. I know it was nothing from somebody else because I'm thinking it's been a long time. I mean, a substantial amount of time had left. So I'm like, what's going on? And like I said, I thank God. And the reason why I say thank God I didn't have health insurance is I would have ran to the doctor. What he would have said, oh, let's test for this. Let's test for that. Let's test for that. He would have made up in a, oh, you've got urinary cancer. Like it would have been some magical, you got urinary, something real serious, because he would not have known. How would he know what I violated? Because he doesn't think along those. He don't even have the wisdom. Most doctors don't have the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to judge you. Let's say like Luke. Luke was the great physician. Why was he? Because Luke had his spirituality working with him, and as well as the knowledge that he had of how can I heal this? How can I fix this? So he had the spiritual healing and the physical healing. Some healing required medicine. Some healing required you need surgery. Get this removed. This is faulty. I mean, all kinds of, like I said, it's such a broad, broad subject. However, one thing is at the root of that, a violation of something, because it's a curse. No curse will come without a cause. Let's listen to what the scriptures told us early on. Early on, God told us this in the OT. Most people, that's why I'm addressing the church don't read the OT. You bring up OT to the church, they, I don't want to read the OT. We're not under that. We under that. And they start thinking you're evil. They start thinking you're teaching a false doctrine. As soon as you go to the OT. Now, my thing is you can't understand the new T without the old T. It's not, I don't know why they call it old T. If it was me, I would have called it the root testament because it is the root. Like you want to know the root of something, and then I would have called the Old Testament part one, and then I would have called, or maybe I would have called it the beginning, and then I would have called the new T the ending. Like I wouldn't say old T and new T. Because when we think of something old, we think of we don't need that no more. It's old. Get rid of it. It's useless. We don't need it. That's the mindset when something says old. So if it was me, and God, please forgive me. I'm not saying your book is not special and perfect as is, I'm just saying the human mind, when you think of something old, you think of, I don't need this. This is old. This needs to be thrown out. And that's not true. It should be called part one or the beginning. And the New Testament should be called the present and ending. But anyway, he tells us early on in the Old Testament that no curse will come without a cause. Now, there's two types of curses. One where you are in violation of something, and two, one where you have something that you should not have. So if you're sick and you're having a problem, know for a fact, and I'm not talking about, like I said, if you eating crazy and you're eating pork and all these worms and you got worms, like, you need to change up your diet. But I'm talking about, like, cancer. Even cancer requires a change of your diet. Everything is about dietary laws. That's what God told us. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Eat this. Eat that. It wasn't because he was trying to restrict us. It was, I want to keep you in perfect peace and perfect health. The minute you start eating crazy, the minute your body's going to start malfunctioning. So I'm not talking to the ones that have a malfunction. Like I said, you just need to correct your dietary. You're eating so much salt, you got high blood pressure. You don't need to be healed from high blood pressure. You need to adjust your diet. Or you got diabetes. Those are things that you can adjust your diet. And I don't care what the doctors say. You need insulin. That's not natural. You can't say you need insulin and all this other stuff. You need a dietary adjustment. Not talking about those type of sicknesses. I'm talking about something where just you think it came out of nowhere, or the doctor's saying, hey, we don't got a cure for this, or I don't know, like I said, leukemia. I don't really know the history. I'm just throwing it out there because that's something that I don't know, too. Like leukemia, like something serious, something serious. So back to me, because I wasn't in the position to do things the natural, normal way of humans of running to the doctor and getting all these tests to find out why there's blood in my urine, I opened my mouth and I said, Father God, why is there blood in my urine? And it took me a few days. It took me a few days. And it wasn't because he, and here's the thing, if also keep this in mind too, when you ask God questions, make yourself available for the answer. Be looking around for the, like, you don't ask God a question, then you kind of get into a isolated state. Because working from home and being self-employed, I kind of was a little introverted. And thank God I still was keeping up with, the Initiative Radio Network. That's the network I'm on. Thank God at the time I had the time to be present during everybody else's show. Like, I'm one of seven people. We all have our days. My days is Monday. And thank God I was present on all of their shows. And that particular, so I was introverted, but at the same time I was home studying the scriptures, you know, still doing my show and still supporting all the other shows. And thank God I was, because after I had asked God, why is there blood in my urine? And I didn't know what to do about it. And thank God I wasn't in any kind of pain or nothing. It was just like, whoa, what's going on? And it had started to get worse and worse. Like, I'm seeing more and more blood. So it was getting, you know, it was concerned. I started thinking, I'm about to die. He's going to take me. All right, Lord, I'm ready to go. Like, it was just like, because I'm thinking, I don't have any money to go to the doctor. And I'm like going, you know, that's how my mind was. My mind was, well, you told me to be self-employed, so now I don't have health insurance, so now I'm relying on you to heal me. I want to know why there's blood in my urine. This is now your responsibility. What's up, Lord, was my mentality. You know what I mean? So even if, I'm not going to say even if I did, I probably would have. Nah, I'm just saying at that moment, it was like, Lord, what's up? Where you at with this? What say you? You know? And immediately, like I said, I didn't hear that night, because I usually get it immediate. Usually when I ask God something, it's usually immediate. But because I was a little introverted, I had to wait until I got on the show. And I was on one of the girls' shows, and she happened to be talking about prejudiceness. And I remember it like it was yesterday, because she started saying she was mixed. I think she was, I want to say Chinese and black. Like, she was mixed. I forget the mixture, but she was mixed, and she started talking about prejudiceness and racism. And for some reason, it felt like you know when it feels like something's running through your body, And I can't even describe it, but it felt like, it was like God saying, hey, you paying attention to what she's saying? Hey, you, Jamaica, are you listening? Because it started feeling like something was going through my body, and I kind of was listening real, real carefully to what she was saying about the prejudiceness, and I was thinking in my mind, that don't apply to me. Why am I feeling? It's almost like I can't even describe it. It's just that's how I'm going to describe it. It felt like something was running through my veins, in my blood veins, and I guess it was because it made me pay attention to what she was saying. And then when she got finished, I felt convicted. And I said to her, I was like, wow. I was like, you know what, sis? I was like, you know what happened to me a couple days ago? Well, actually, at this time, by the time the show came, it was not a couple days ago. It was a while had lapsed. A while had lapsed before I finally said, God, what is going on? And I said to her, I said, you know what? I was going to the beauty supply, and I said, I'm self-employed. And I had about $75 on me, and I was going to get some ingredients to process an order. I said a white guy had approached me in the parking lot of the beauty supply store and said, hey, sis, can I have $2? And I looked at him like, and my mind was like, this is right when all that hardcore, and when I say hardcore, I mean I was getting videos like 3 times, 4 times a day about the killings of the blacks, and it was this big race war going on. And it was so bad till I had stopped watching the video. Like, it was so bad. It was affecting me. So when I say affecting me, it was affecting me watching these videos. And it was like, then I saw this young girl. Y'all know the videos I'm talking about because it was going around. I mean, millions of views. It was like going viral. Then there was one with the black girl getting yoked up at the pool party at 14 years old. Like, when I say hardcore affecting me, to the point where I had to be like, you know what? I'm not clicking on no more video. The next time I see a video, I'm not even going to click on it. Like, I can't take this no more. However, shortly after watching a video, I go to the beauty supply store to process an order and get some ingredients. A white guy approached me in the parking lot and asked me for $2. And I was like, nah. Because he was like, oh, hey, since you got $2 I can borrow. He said something like, I'm trying to get home. And I just looked at him like, no. But my mindset was, how dare you? I'm black, you're white, like, don't you know what's going on? How dare you ask me for some money? That was my mentality at the time. And little did I know, immediately I got cursed. Immediately. Now, the experience, symptoms, the symptoms didn't start processing in my body until after, but the root started right there. Right when because that was kind of hate that I spewed. Here's the guy. Now, here's the thing. Two things that was going on. I'm self-reliant on God for my business, okay? Because when you're self-employed, I don't know how y'all do it in the world, but us believers, we rely on God to send the customers, to send the orders, to send the vendor events. Like, when I say solely reliant on God, yes, I was, and it was happening for me real nicely, too, like real prosperous. I mean, I was paying my bills between me, my son's job, and me being self-employed. That's how I was paying my bills. I mean, I had to cut back on a lot of the luxuries, but the necessities was being handled. And however, I found myself asking God, I'm going to need you to multiply my harvest. That's what I say. I say, I need you to multiply my harvest. That means I need more money. That's how we say it in the spirit realm. Father God, I'm going to need you to multiply my harvest. And so look at the two things that I missed out on. The minute I said multiply my harvest, he went to multiply it through this guy, because then when I started thinking back and processing it, he was very specific. He didn't say, oh, miss, can you spare some change? Or, he asked for $2. Now, for me, that's a lot of money for a homeless person or a person that's asking you for some spare change. $2 is a bit much to ask somebody for. So when I started back processing it, I was like, wait a minute, that's where my harvest was. God was using this man to get my harvest to me, because this is how it works. Whatever you need, you got to sow a seed. If you need more money, you got to give money, and then God will maximize that harvest. You reap what you sow. That's just how the world, that's how he has this world set up. If you want money, you got to sell money to get more money. And whatever you want, if you want, I'm not even going to start with all the stuff you want. But whatever you want, you have to sell that. I was an entrepreneur, self-employed. If I want more business, I got to be somebody's business. You know what I mean? I got to look for the other entrepreneurs and sell into their business. And then I get my harvest. Like, that's how this works. So when I started processing it, like when God started convicting me and reminding me of that, what happened in the parking lot that day, I started doing the rewind, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, he did. He was very specific when he said $2. And it was like he came right up to me. I mean, it wasn't like he was standing there, like you could tell when somebody's just kind of standing there and lingering, and whoever walks, they're going to ask for money. No. He came right up to me specifically and specifically asked me for $2. It was like if he was an angel. You know what I mean? I think he might have been, because when I say I missed that bus, I missed that bus wholeheartedly, because, again, he came right up to me in the parking lot. Not too many people would approach you in the parking lot because they think you'll be scared, like you're going to rob them or something. And he came right up to me in the parking lot and was very specific. Yes, hey, sis, do you have $2? And I'm like, no. My mind, I didn't say it. I didn't get any rude. I didn't get rude. I was in my mind, how dare you? You don't know what's going on in the world? How dare you ask me for $2? I'm black. You know, like, that's what my mindset was. We're going a few years ago. That's where my mind, I was pissed off. I left the house pissed off. I had just watched a few series of videos. I left in kind of like a state of, oh, my God, what is going on? We are under attack. And not even under attack like before. I mean, like, it's just blatant. Like, it's just blatant now. So it was harsh. And then I have a son. And he and I are talking about things at the house, like, yo, whoa. I'm like, listen, when you go to work, you be careful when you're driving. Like, every day I have to give him this pep talk about being careful and following the laws, and if you get pulled over, what to do. You know, every day this was hitting my house. So this was going on daily. Like, he would come on, mommy, did you hear about the new one? Or when he come, oh, Donkey, did you hear about the new one? Like, it was like all day, daily of these shootings, and like, it was hard. So that's where my mindset was when he approached me. Here I am, got all this filth on me. That's what I'm gonna call it, filth. I had all this filth on me. That's why you gotta guard your eyes and guard your ears and watch what you're watching and pay attention to what you're listening to, because if these things start affecting you negatively, they'll also affect your surroundings, and that's what was happening with me. Here I am praying for God to maximize my harvest. He sends me a seed to sow and plant into, and here I am, I missed that, letting prejudice and hate set down in me. That's what it was. So what that blood was my body responded to this evil that has set inside of me. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's evil. If I'm thinking this about this random guy, that's evil. That's what an evil thought is. He ain't got nothing to do with the shootings. I ain't got nothing to do with the shootings. So why is I'm even letting that shooting affect this transaction that the Lord is trying to get to me? Was I thinking that? No. Do I think that now? Yes. Like I said, I went through training these few, I'm going to say, 10 years I've been in training. Yeah. So now fast forward back to the call where it was more like a show. It was a Block Talk show. I say call because it was audible. When she started speaking about prejudice, something started going through my body. I knew immediately that's what I had violated. And immediately I confessed it during the show, and I was like, wow, sis, I told her the same story I told y'all about the whole parking lot incident with the white dude. And she was like, yeah. She was like, well, you know, God, you know, ask for forgiveness. And, you know, and I was just like, yeah, I clearly do need to ask for forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you something. Right after I got off the show ended, I got on my knees. I was like, wow, Father, I missed that. I was like, thank you so much for answering me and revealing to me what I violated, okay? And I was like, I repent of that. And I was like, if you could, can you put that guy back in my path so I can see him again? And unfortunately, I feel like I blocked my harvest. I kind of lost out my, and I did, like, I did not see him again, and I did not really get a harvest. You know, once you miss, you know, God is not a rewind God. Like, once you miss the bus, you miss the bus. I mean, you can get another bus, but you missed your bus. And I had to suffer the consequences of that. It took a long time for that. Like I said, I never got that harvest, but it took a little while for me to finally financially, you know, be okay. It took a while, and I kept saying was, wow, I miss my harvest. I miss my harvest. I miss my harvest. Damn. Like, I really did miss. Are you not going to see me another harvest? I was kind of like, okay, can I run into him again? And I can apologize and give him the $2. I'll probably give him $10. Can you send the guy again? And he did. And I understand that. It was a very valuable lesson. It was a lesson of, don't make this mistake again. And it wasn't God punishing me. It's the enemy. When you know you are on the road somewhere, like you're headed somewhere, believe me, the devil's going to put nails so you can get flat tires, try to put sugar in your tank so you can break down. Like, he doesn't want you to get to your destination, and he definitely didn't want me to get to my destination. You know, I'm a little radical in that sense of being there, and he definitely did not want. So it was like the very minute, I violated something. He went in for it. And I repented immediately for it. And guess what? That was the last sign of blood in my urine, the minute. So I say all that to say, you are not waiting for God to heal you. God is waiting for you to repent of the law you violated. Me, I violated the hate law, the prejudice law. Like he says, there's a whole list of things that God tells us not to be: envious, jealous, lustful, hateful, evil, wicked. That list is long. And here I am thinking of it as something light, but it was a violation of a spiritual law. It's not like I smacked him in the face. Like, you can judge yourself all you want. I said, well, damn, I didn't hit the guy. I didn't curse him out. I didn't even say it rude. I was just like, no. Like, I didn't say it rude or anything. But my thing is, I judge myself. I've been doing that since I was a little girl, actually, and I didn't even know there was a thing. I remember I had stole some lipstick. I mean, I always tell the story. I was a little girl. I stole some lipstick from Pathmark. And I tell you, when I lipstick, I had the worst bad luck, the most bad luck. And I knew, whoa, is this what happens when you steal? Like, your whole life changes? Like, I knew from a little girl, you know, it's one of those things, not like I knew and I'm so smart. It's just one of those things where I pay attention, and I'm very, very observant. I've been that way since I was a little girl. I always, everybody playing, I'm sitting on to the side. I'm sitting to the side kind of observing all the kids playing. Like, okay, look at all these kids playing. Like, that's how I was as a kid, you know. I'm going to sit back and observe everybody else. But I don't want to play, you know. I'm having fun. But I'm having fun observing y'all playing. Like, that's the kind of kid I was. I like to kind of sit back and kind of think and analyze things. And I'm kind of glad I was that way, because not only people, some people just can't analyze things and put things together. Back in the days, they called it superstitious. Well, there is really no such thing as superstitious. You pay attention and you can see things is what it is. Back in the days, people paid attention. When something bad happened to them, the first thing they said was, oh, he sinned. Like, they knew immediately, this didn't just happen to you. You sinned, you did something, or you didn't sin, well, your mama sinned, your grandmama sinned, somebody did something bad, because why is this happening to you? When Jonah got on the boat started rocking and they about to die. What they say? Somebody on this boat is cursed. This ain't just happening. The waves are not just coming out of nowhere. They were superstitious enough to know somebody ain't right on this boat, on this boat, because why are we about to die? So, unfortunately, we are not as spiritual as we were years ago when something bad is happening, to be able to judge ourselves and analyze the situation and say, wait a minute, let me take a step back. What did I do? What was my hand in this? Is this self-inflicted? In my case, it was self-inflicted. And that's not the only time. what I'm saying is that's probably like the most. But it was one time I was in a car and I coughed and it felt like I had lung cancer. That's how it felt. And I've had upper respiratory infections and bronchitis. I had all kind of stupid sicknesses, like as far as like a cough, bad cold. And when I coughed, it felt like I was going to die if I coughed again like that. And I kid you not, I said right in the car to God, I went just like this. Like I coughed. I was like, and it burnt so bad and it hurt it so bad. And I said to God, because like I said, I remembered. I remembered now, violation and sickness go hand in hand. I remembered, and what I said in the car that moment, I said, God, don't let Satan attack me. Please reveal to me what I did. And I was like, matter of fact, I repent of what I did right now. Reveal it to me, Lord. I kid you, the burning stopped immediately. That harsh, like whatever, it felt like something grabbed my lungs and set it on fire. Like that's how it felt. It felt like I was about to die. And I know they go hand in hand. And I said, I was like, no. Do not let Satan attack my body. No. I'm going to judge myself. Please reveal to me what I did. And he did. It was like something flashed by. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, I remember that. I'm sorry. I repent of that. I will never do that again. Like he will flash. Start paying attention to what flashes. Like when you ask God something, and I'm going to call it it's a vision, but for those that are not too familiar with getting visions, it'll be like an idea. Put it in the sense of like an idea, okay? So let's say you ask God something, and then all of a sudden, boom, you get like an idea, or you can get a vision of something. That's probably your answer, you know? And in my case, it'll be a little bit confusing at times trying to separate your own ideas with God's answers, but just keep on doing. Nothing is when in doubt, do it. It's not nothing bad to repent of something when it's like an idea when it flashes of something that you did. That's it. That's probably it. And if you don't know for sure that it's it, ask Him. Say, "Oh Lord, I just got a vision of something I did yesterday, or something I said on the phone when my homegirl called me." You know, it could be something, did you speak against God's anointed? That's a big one. That's a big one. Like I said, the girl the other day that was denouncing this, because that's what she was doing, and false witnessing. See the spiritual terms that I'm saying, that nobody looks at it like that. They go, oh, what's the big deal? I just said, there's no such thing as I just said. He's a missionary sent of God. He goes around healing the sick and doing all this other stuff. He is legitimate, and here you are on social media publicly trying to discredit him, and you called him a fake and a phony and say in the same breath you didn't get healed because you're cursing yourself. It could be just as simple as that. You cursing yourself. You speak against God's anointed, and that is an instant curse. I kid you not. You can't speak against God's anointed. Again, what Bible are you reading? See, nobody wants to read the Old Testament, because if you're reading the Old Testament, remember Moses' own sister got cursed from speaking against her brother, his own sister. And he even asked God, no, heal my sister. It's okay. And God still was like, nah. In 7 days, she's going to get healed, but she's going to pay for speaking against you. God does not play when you speak against his anointed. If you're sick and you've been praying and, oh, Lord, and singing and praying, and you went to all the healers and the churches, and it, perhaps when your homegirl calls you to start talking about members of the church, that would be the call you should let go to voicemail. Stop doing it. It could just be simple. And when I'm talking about Satan will use any little violation, what you're not realizing that you're doing is you're false witnessing, and that's punishment in itself. You ever look in the Bible against what happens with false witness and how God views false witness? He don't play when it comes to false witness. He actually calls it a weapon, because that's what it is. That's what it is. You're a weapon. You're becoming a weapon. This girl didn't realize God sending this man to go around the world teaching healing, because that's what he did. He's not healing. He's teaching healing. And here you are discrediting him. It's the equivalent to shooting him down. You're a weapon. So she doesn't realize a weapon needs to be dealt with in the same manner. Okay? So she says she had something crazy. I never even heard of what she said she had. And I said to her, and then she had the nerve, because I was like, sis, you know, I have a responsibility to tell. I was like, sis, you should not be speaking against God's anointed. I was like, that's a curse in itself. And she said something crazy. Oh, you fall for false something, something, something. And I said, but I got healed and you didn't. But I got healed and you didn't. So who fell for what? Like, that's the thing. Wisdom, you got to pray for wisdom. She didn't even get what she was saying. You're saying I fell for the lies and the deceit, but I got healed at that meeting. You didn't. She didn't even realize what she was saying. And all she kept saying, she was discrediting. She's so full of hate that she's discrediting this man. And in her mind, she's thinking, oh, what's the big deal? I don't know him. But he's anointed of God. And here you are, because guess what? It's social media. How many people are going to read that? How many people are going to read that and go, oh, he's a phony? Oh, well, I was going to go to one of the meetings. He's coming to my town, or he's coming to my country. I'm not going. He's false. And then they go repeating that. And then they, the ones they repeated to go repeating that. Oh, he's false. Oh, he's a false pastor. Oh, he's a false prophet. Oh, he's a... Look how quickly a rumor can spread just from what comes out of her mouth. She doesn't realize she's became an enemy of God. The minute you speak against God's anointed, you become an enemy. It's already hard trying to teach the good news, and in here you are coming to discredit what the truth is. That's an instant curse. That's an instant curse. Again, judge yourself. Judge yourself. No curse will come without a cause. However, God says, to touch not my anointed. He's been saying that all throughout scriptures. If you are sick and you got some kind of crazy thing and the doctor said there's no cure, or you got leukemia or dysemia and thatemia, and you perhaps you just run in your mouth. Perhaps you just run in your mouth. Stop running your mouth. You know what you need to do? Fast from the phone. Do it. Fast from speaking. I mean, I know you probably got to go to work and all that stuff. Make a mental note. Starting tomorrow, make a mental note. Like, this is how you should be seeking your healing diligently. Like, okay, God, I'm going to stop running my mouth because I'm going to give it the benefit of doubt that perhaps this is self-inflicted. I'm going to judge myself. Maybe I said something and spoke something into my life. And that's another thing. What are you speaking? Oh, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm dead. I'm dead. Look at all the stuff we speak over ourselves, self-destruction, and do it so carelessly. So carelessly. We sing it, singing all these songs. Oh, my God, one of my favorite songs. It was my favorite song. Y'all watch that show, Star? Well, last season, her, the dark-skinned chick, and, you know, Luke, the R&B singer, well, he was in that episode, and they made this song called So Sick. And he goes, I'm so sick of love. I've been giving all of me, giving out of you. Oh, my goodness, I love that song. However, I'm not singing I'm so sick. Why would I sing that? So I supplement. Supplemental, I'm not sick. Like, you have to, if you love the song so much where you just have to hear it, supplement the lyrics. Because you could just be singing yourself into sickness. Because you know why? And again, put the Bible to the side for a second. Let's take science, because they study God's word. That's what they do. And study God things, God creation. Scientists, neurologists, neuropsychologists, and all these is study that thinking bad thoughts sets the atmosphere for your subconscious mind to make it happen. And that's just thoughts. So imagine what words will do. As much as I love that song, I'm not singing it. I'm not singing it. I'm so sick. Why would I say, why? I'm not sick. I don't want to be sick. I'm not trying to be sick. Never. So why would I sing that? Okay? So another road to healing 101, stop singing yourself into sickness. Stop saying you are sick. Stop cursing yourself. That's what you're doing each time you say it. And that's routine language. Girl, I'm so sick and tired of this. I'm so sick and tired of her. Then next thing you know, you're sick and tired. So repent of that tonight. Say, Lord, whatever words or seeds that I may have sown or planted over myself, I dig up that root right now in the name of Jesus. And you got to say in the name of Jesus. And if you're still struggling with the J's, hang up now. You don't need to pay attention to anything I'm saying because you need a whole nother healing. But you have to say in Jesus' name. Dig up that seed in Jesus' name. Say it just like that. Anything that I might have sung and planted over myself, over my family, you know what I mean, over my marriage. Some people are married, but you're singing heartbreak songs. You know, they're not really love songs, but there's a song talking about being brokenhearted and lonely, and you singing them songs, the next thing you know, you're starting to have a problem in your marriage. Maybe you just sung yourself into misery. Like, pay attention. Words are seeds. Words are seeds. If you don't think words are seeds, you're going to have a hard time getting healing. Words are seeds, and you need them to heal, okay? So let's do a whole step by step. What time is it? It's 8 minutes after eight, and I work where I live, and I hear somebody might be upstairs. I'm not sure. So I still have to say I may have to end a little bit early. So let's leave on a good note, on a healing note of how this works. Okay? And this is not a guessing game. You did something wrong. Ask God what you did wrong. Okay? And if you are not used to asking God what you did wrong, this is the perfect opportunity to start. You can start right here. God will meet you right where you are. You ain't got to know no special nothing. All you got to do is say, Father God in heaven. Like, you do got to know the terminology. You want to address that creator. But you may have had another God. I don't know what your God is. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean God is your God. You may have a whole other God. Say, Father God in heaven, I need you to reveal to me what law I am in violation of that has plagued me and caused me to be cursed. Reveal it to me immediately so that I can repent of it and get healed. And that's one level of it, okay? Then you have, what time is it? Like I said, the healing is a broad topic. So after you clear all that up, and you should be healed immediately. So if you did that, or God says, no, you didn't violate anything, then you need to go to the table authorities. Now, if you haven't checked out my show regarding table authorities, check it out, because I really, really broke down. Basically, table authorities is just scriptures all dealing with the same subject. So you need to get the healing scriptures and compile a list. These days, we got these technology resources that it's very, very easy to compile a list of table of authorities. In the legal terms, it's a list of cases that you would base that violation of the law on to make your case stronger, okay? So I'm going to show you what our table of authorities that I did looks like. So this says, this is the first page. I wrote table of authorities topic provider. So this is when you have a financial need, right? And what I did was, all I did was Google, how did I word it? Oh, prosperity scriptures in the King James. Get the King James Version. If you're going to speak the Word of God, you need the accurate Word of God. But I Googled Bible verses regarding prosperity and all the whole list. You can see how this looks. And the whole list of all the prosperity scriptures. There's a couple pages of them. Okay? The whole list of prosperity scriptures came out. And then I just printed it out, and I keep it there. If I'm having a financial issue, I go to my table of authorities. That's what this is called. It's a whole compilation of everything dealing with God being my provider. See what it says? He says he's my provider, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All this other stuff. I believe those scriptures. When you believe them, you stand on them, you declare them, and you decree them, they come to pass. Like, that's how this works. So once you clear up that it's not something that you're in violation of and all that other stuff, I think whether it is or not, you still need to get the table of authorities. See, this is another one called protection. This is my table of authorities regarding protection. All my scriptures, I did a Google search, Bible verses regarding protection in the King James Version. All of them came out. This is a few pages of them. So if I'm feeling under attack, which you're going to be under attack. If you're a believer and you head it somewhere, you're going to be under attack. The idea is to give you a flat tire and you don't get there. So if you're feeling under attack, you are going to need the scriptures dealing with protection. You know? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid of? When the wicked came upon me, like, you're going to need to know what to say. That's what the table of authorities is all about. And be ready. Like, a lot of people, if you've got a bad memory, just print them out. Print them out. This is not a memory contest, regardless as to what people speak of. Yeah, it'll be nice to have it fresh in your mind and know exactly what to say. However, if you're dealing and you're under attack, your mind is mostly under attack too, and you don't have that stuff really available. At least start compiling a folder so you know where to go. And then you can go. Most Bibles have an index where it'll have, like, the word healing and then have a list of all the scriptures there. You can use that as well. But those don't give you the actual scriptures. They just tell you where they are. You want to have them. You don't want to have to keep slipping through the Bible when you have a problem. You want to be able to grab that page and start reciting and speaking health over yourself or whatever it is. Okay? So I say all that to say, get your table of authorities and speak it. Remember, you serve a name above all names. Remember what the word says. It was a big Bible. You serve the name above all names. So if the doctor says you have leukemia, then you need to speak against leukemia and call it that and speak against it and tell leukemia to get out of your body. That's another realm of healing, is no matter what you are in violation of, the minute you repent of it, it is officially trespassing. So you have to understand that type of law. The minute you violate something, the minute you start experiencing symptoms, and the minute you repent of it, if it stays in your body, it is officially trespassing. In my case, it jumped out immediately. I don't know if you want to call it jumped out, whatever. The symptoms went away immediately. I didn't have to keep on hitting it and hitting it and hitting it with the scriptures. The minute I repented, mine stopped. And that's been the normal for me. If I'm attacked with something, and I'm not talking about natural laws, or you went outside without a jacket on, you got a cold and you coughed, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something serious. The minute you repent of it, healing should take effect immediately. If it does not, then you have to do step two, which means it is now a foreign thing trespassing in your body, and you have to treat it like how you would treat an intruder. In your house, use your weapon. And then spiritual, our weapon is our mouth, and the word of God is our sword. So that's when you would say leukemia, or let's say cancer, I command you to get out of my body right now in the name of Jesus. You are officially trespassing. So you have to speak to it and tell it to leave, and it must, not should, could, it must obey your words, because your words is the word of God, and then God's word doesn't come back void. So, and the minute you do that, sometimes things take a flushing out process. I don't know what kind of sickness you have, but me, it was immediate. And most of the people in the scriptures was immediate. Okay? However, I have heard of people where they start getting the healing, but the healing is a process. Like, it's better and better every day, better, better, better. That's fine, too. But know that you it's trespassing, and you shouldn't be putting up with an intruder. That's like an intruder breaking in your house and then telling you, I'll leave when I'm good and ready. What would you do? Feed it? Feed it? Give it a bed and a blanket and say, all right, well, you can sleep on a couch. And that's what it's like when you deal with sickness in your body. It's trespassing. You got to deal harshly, fervent, don't stop, be adamant about it. I mean, isn't it horrible when something hurts and achy? I don't know, maybe I'm fragile, but I can't put up with too much stuff going on in my body. You shouldn't either. So be aggressive with sickness. Be aggressive with your healing. Also, be aggressive with judging yourself. That's the problem. The problem is not the healing. The problem is not the healer. The problem is not the healer is not available to you. The problem is not, oh, well, God, you said through my strength, you know all those scriptures, but you forgot how you got there. So you can't say, oh, I believe these scriptures, but don't believe the other scriptures. God says, judge yourself, lest ye be judged. He says no curse will come without a cause. So this is not my opinion. This is what I've experienced. I've always, any time, it's always been me in violation of something. I now judge myself. I didn't say I was perfect. I say now if I slip up and do something crazy, I'll be quick to be like, ooh, now you know what? I shouldn't even have said that. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me for that. Immediately, because I don't want to get attacked. Immediately. And when I do get attacked, I'm going to be dealing with it immediately. And this is another thing. Take your sickness and flip it on the enemy. Flip it on him. Learn all you can learn. Like, that's what I did. I learned all that. Make that enemy regret plaguing you with sickness. Make him say, damn, I didn't plague her with sickness, but she didn't got all the wisdom. She didn't got all the knowledge. She didn't got all the understanding, and now she going around healing the world, and now she going to make him regret making you pay for what you did. Make him think twice next time he want to say, oh, let me plague her because she's in violation of something, because it's not God, okay? God is not giving you that sickness or that disease. It's the enemy. It's like he's bringing you up on charges. Because like I said, you're in the judgment seat. Every day of your life, you're in the judgment seat. And every moment that you don't pray, every moment that you don't repent and confess, is like having legal paperwork come to your house and you don't answer. If you get a complaint in the mail, you have to respond to it. You actually have a certain amount of time to respond to it. And if you don't respond to it, what happens? You get a bench warrant, right? That's the same thing in the spiritual realm. If you are plagued with something, that's like getting a complaint. That means, ooh, the enemy has a complaint against me. That's how you should take sickness. The minute the doctor says, oh, you have this and you got X amount, the first thought that should pop in your mind is the enemy sent a complaint to my house. That's your house. Your body is the holy temple. Right? You're going to let him destroy the temple of God? Because you're perishing because of lack of knowledge? That's dumb. You have to respond to that complaint. Answer it back. Oh, yeah, Father, I judge myself. I realize I did that. And, yes, I am worthy of death. However, you were already wounded for my transgression, so I don't need to be wounded for this. I judge myself and thank you, Jesus, that I have a Savior that already took my punishment, so I don't need to be punished for it. I will make sure I do not violate this again. See, that's the thing with repentance. You can't repent of something and keep on doing it. Now, guess what? I'd never let that happen again. In any kind of race, not just white, you name it. You name it. I'm very, very careful how I handle people now. I'm very, very careful of not being judgmental. I'm very, very careful because why? I know that enemy is waiting for me to slip up. You will not get me again for that. Prejudice, no. You will not get me again for it. And when I say thank you for pointing out my weakness, because that's what's happening.
Look at this chastisement as a great thing. He's pointing out your weakness. Now you know your weakness, and now you know how to build up in that area. So I build up in the area of loving my neighbors throughout all of this. Now I build it up in the area of watching my reaction, my responses to people that are not my color. You know what I mean? Like now I'm watching my behavior, watching my response. If somebody comes to me and asks me for something now, oh, yeah, you can have it. Now I'm more of a giver. You know what I mean? So make him regret plaguing you. Make him regret punishing you. Make the enemy regret anything that he does to you. Come out the winner on top of that. Like, what would I want to start doing? Getting chemo? Because the doctor said, I have urinary cancer. Because he would have came up with something big. And with the amount of blood, I wouldn't have blamed him. This is serious. So he would have, what I would have been getting chemo for cancer I don't have, and then then I'm losing all my hair. So now I got two things going on. Now I have no hair on my head. I'm getting all this expense, and now I'm in debt. Now I'm being attacked financially because this is how the enemy likes to do you. He don't just do you like that. He tries to destroy you. This thing was supposed to destroy me. He seeks, kills, and destroys. It wasn't, oh, just so she can. No, it was to kill me. Some people have died. You're going under this radiation and all this unnatural stuff? Because this guy is guessing with your health? I'm not doing that. Open up your mouth and start speaking to the Creator. Stop letting these man-made things and this man. Let's get back into the scriptures. Let's get back on God's side. Let's get back into the book. Let's make God be the great physician, right? Get around. What he also tells you in the scriptures, when you are sick, go to the elders. Go to the elders. And that don't mean go to the old people in the church. Go to the elders mean go to somebody that know what they heal, they talking about. And they know what they heal is going on. That's what go to the elders mean. They mean they should know based on what you're telling them. They know how to ask the right questions. Well, let's think back to how did this happen? Like, they should be analyzing and helping you process. Or maybe they can ask for the prophecy to get you healed. Father God, reveal to me what she did so I can tell her she don't know how to speak to you. She don't want to speak to you. She don't know. She don't, you know, this is some people that God just doesn't speak to, you know. That's a whole nother conversation that I don't want to get into. Or why? There's some people that you need to be sent a prophet. He'll send a prophet to you. Ask for that. So if you're asking God for answers and he's not answering you, then maybe he just don't want to speak to you. And that's fine. Don't be offended. Ask him to send a prophet to you. Okay? And he will. That he will do. That I know. To say, Father God, I haven't heard from you. I've been paying attention. I don't see no way that you could have been speaking to me, responding to me. I think you're ignoring me. Can you please send a prophet to give me some answers? Like, you probably missed a few things, I'm sure. Okay? Because he's not going to ignore you on purpose. He's God. And he loves glory. He loves the spotlight. He loves worship. Like, he loves all that stuff. So if he's ignoring you, there's a good reason why he's ignoring you. So really quick, I got a half hour, but I'm not going to take the half hour because I hear the ladies are back here. I'm just going to see if there's any questions. Oh, my sister was watching. She said, hey, sis. Hey, Big Sheik. That's my oldest sister. And she's only older by years of change. I'm really the oldest. Christina Richardson says, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Queen. How are you? Thanks, everybody, for joining. Marissa R. DRC says, hey, Shamika. Hey, Marissa, how are you, Queen? Thank you, everybody. Somebody named Eric Williams said, my. You sure look good tonight. He was singing Johnny Gill. David Hill says, you are a fine damn woman. Keep on keeping on. Thank you, David. Eric Williams said, we hurt ourselves more than anything. Yes, exactly, Eric. And actually, when you get some time, I did a show. I think my show, was it last week? That was called, last week's show was called Enemy,
versus inner me. Check that show out, because that's exactly what that show is about. You can't keep blaming the devil, devil, devil. Like, yeah, you can say, oh, the devil, the devil, the devil, but it's you, you, you. You give him the ticket. You give him the keys. Take back those keys and slam the door in his face. God says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's what he meant when he, sickness will flee from you the moment you resist the devil. Okay? Resisting the devil means resist his ways, like resist his evil, the jealousy, the hatred, the prejudice, the all that. That's the devil. You have to resist that stuff. Don't take the bait for it either. Eric Williams said, your spirit match your outside. You call that beautiful inside out, no disrespect intended. Oh, my God, thank you so much, Eric. I appreciate that. I really, really do. And I think, oh, we had somebody said, somebody named Tina Sussman says that we entertain angels unaware. That's why we have to pay attention to how we treat people. Absolutely. That was a very valuable lesson for me, Tina. You're absolutely right. And she said, that stuff creates anxiety. Yeah, I know. How many people is on anxiety meds just for that exact thing? I mean, look how they're monopolizing off of it too, right? It's ridiculous. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Simon Presley says, hey, Pastor Simon. He says, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Presley. I work with Simon. think that's all the questions and comments. Yes. So it's almost 8:30, and I hear the ladies are upstairs, so I gotta go. I can't go all the way to 9 today. But like I said, get real, real, real aggressive with this sickness. You should not be losing battles, sickness battles. You should not be in and out of this chemos and that demos and in and out this Bible and asking God what you did to deserve that kind of a curse. Punishment, repent for it, and get on with your life. And if you are watching a show and you're not sick specifically, but there's somebody you know is sick, tell them to do the same thing. I mean, this is not nothing new. Tell them to do the same thing. Judge yourself, lest you be judged. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, knowing that it's your own reason why you're sick, but guess what it is? I mean, that's actually better. That means it's in your control. So that should be, this is a good message. It's in your control. Okay? Here you are sitting around saying, and that's what one of the things the girl said too. I got to wait till God comes to get healed. And I was thinking, she missed a lot of stuff in the scriptures. I mean, I don't know. I wanted to say, which church you go to? Where'd you get that from? I don't know. She was lost the way around, lost and hateful all the way around. So she had a couple of things going on for her. But I feel like to say, get real aggressive about this healing. If you are a believer, you should not be walking around sick, broke down. And I'm not talking about you getting older and your things. No, I'm talking about you evil, you on the phone gossiping all the time, you in and out the hospital, like, perhaps you need to just shut it up, like shut it down. Do that for, if you can't track it or you waiting for God to answer you, why you waiting for God to answer you, get real quiet. Fast on your mouth. Do a mouth fast. Like, I'm not going to say nothing. If you can, take the week off work and put in for a week off and just stay home and mute. And if you're going to say anything, speak the scriptures. Get your table of authorities and Google healing scriptures and just speak healing over yourself. Get a fast. Like, you need to commission heaven. It's like summoning heaven to answer me now. What is up? And I like asking for a vision. Ask God for a vision. God, I need a vision on what is going on. I need it tonight. Please, in the name of Jesus. You've got to say in the name of Jesus. Like, you got to know how this works. It's not like I can't say it all in 2 hours. But you need to get real aggressive with it. And having said that, I don't like to leave any souls on the table. If you cannot identify with being a believer and you would like to, welcome. The walk is very simple. It's very, very simple. All you got to do is open your mouth verbally and say, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days he arose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child.
Thank you for salvation, for the promise of abundant life, spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. You got to understand what Jesus came here to do. He said, I came to give you life so you can have it more abundantly. Okay? He says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. So you got to understand what that means. That don't mean you can go around and do what they hear you want to do without consequences. That's where the church missed it. The law is still in effect, full effect. We're just not under it. We're under grace. That doesn't mean do what you want to do. That doesn't mean you can be jealous and hateful and envy and lustful, and there's not going to be consequences for that. That's incorrect teaching, okay? It even says God forbid where those scriptures are concerned. All right, so y'all keep on keeping on. And I say, let's just say if you are sick and you have been praying and praying and you did all of this, let's say after tonight you do this and do that and you speak and you're not hearing anything, yes, I am available to really dissect your situation, and you can reach out to me. I have my phone number listed. I am not available for random phone calls. I am not available for, hey, how you doing? I am available for this. I am sick. I'm about to die. I need you to agree with me, intercede with me. Let's get aggressive with this. If you believe what you say you do, you got more experience in it, like that kind of thing, reach out to me, and let's get it done, all right? Over and out.